Thank you, everyone, for tuning back into the UnitedWeStrike.com Radio Marathon, February 8th, 2014. I am Matt Navarro, host of the New World Order Report. Tonight, on our roundtable, we've got a nice group of our hosts gathered here, and these roundtables have really become something to look forward to at the end of our broadcast day, because we're the group here is such an enlightened and intelligent group. To hear the banter and the interaction of these folks, and just to hear the intelligent things coming out of their mouths and the information that they can share with us, is really enlightening radio. It is really fun radio to listen to. In our midst this evening, we have our host, Karen Quintostato, Aaron Rosen, Dr. Dean Lloyd, Suzanne Posel, we've got Gary Hendershot, and Vinny Eastwood. And before we get started, Suzanne mentioned this earlier on my segment, but we haven't had a chance to wish him well. Vinny Eastwood, I guess, recently has tied the knot of matrimony, so congratulations, Vinny. How do you like being a missus or mister these days?
It was a bit of a Freudian slip. It's great, you know. It was, you know, when you first meet your missus, and actually for the first 2 years of our relationship, I think we were in the eighth year before we decided to get married. I didn't refer to her as Sarah to any of my friends. I just referred to her as M-MRS, my missus.
And how ingenious. A little NLT. I need a little NLT there to get your relationship going.
Yeah. And I don't like wearing rings either, but I got rather attached to this one as soon as I put it on at the ceremony, you know? And then you get kind of that, when you first meet somebody that you really love and what have you, you go through that lovey-dovey period when you first start going out for like months or whatever, and you like really, really love each other, and it's kind of like it's brought that back. It's awesome.
Excellent deal. Well, you know, good luck on your a new venture here.
Vinny, are you telling me that if I take the wife out and marry her again after, let's see, we've been together for 38, going on 39 years now, I might be able to throw away those little blue pills?
You may be able to. But there's got to be a crowd watching. I mean, what? the ceremony, not the consummation.
Oh, okay, because I'll tell you, if a crowd happened to catch me and my wife, they'd throw a blanket over us.
What, like a white blanket? Like, yep, they did.
Probably.
Or they might stand and cheer.
Go, boy! Go for it! You can do it! You can do it! You can do it!
It's that time of life, right?
All right, I think we better slow down on the adult beverages, guys.
Thanks, Vinny, for joining us this evening.
United, okay. We lose.
Too bad we didn't get Dinah back on with us. She got cut off earlier because of a technical glitch. I was hoping that she would join us and be a part of this roundtable like she usually is. But we apologize for the glitch, Dinah. We'll enjoy seeing you next month. But we were talking during the break about this phenomenon called global warming. I've got 10 inches of it outside my house right now. And we're having this discussion, this debate about the snow and what it's made of, because these videos went viral of snow back east being flammable, perhaps, gave off funny smells, as people reported, and was not burnable. So, Gary, you were mentioning that you had done some testing. Why don't you tell us about what you found?
Well, all I can tell you is that the snow that fell here, I was able to take a chunk of it and hit it with my lighter, and it turned black like everybody's snow was, you know, like what they're showing on the YouTube. And I said, okay, well, you know, I've never seen that before. But then again, I had never tried to hit snow with a butane lighter before, so I just, you know, I didn't know what I was seeing. So I brought some snow in, put it in a test tube, evacuated all the air, which, of course, immediately evaporated the snow into a liquid. I then heated up the water content that was left, and it evaporated into clear water, and then I evaporated it over some heat, and there was no residue, there was no polymers, there was no smoke, there was nothing of any kind. So my immediate impression was, Well, this is just an interesting phenomena where soot from the butane lighter was collecting on the snow. Now, obviously, I would love to be proven wrong. I would love to send the. I would love to see somebody send it out for scientific analysis. But you know, the fairly simple analysis I was able to do with my little Bunsen burner and my test tubes was not able to find any polymers that everybody was talking about. Everybody was talking about, you know, artificially nucleated snow that was formed around some kind of a polymer, and I could not prove that to my satisfaction.
Well, that doesn't mean it wouldn't have occurred, because we know from past experience and knowledge of the phenomenon of geoengineering, they're putting polymers, Morgellons, funguses, strontium, barium, aluminum, right, on... Into the atmosphere.
What about looking at under a microscope? Did you have a microscope, Gary?
I do have a microscope, actually quite a good one. And I wasn't able to see anything that I could account for as soot or residue that was of an artificial nature. Now, you know, you expect to see a little microscopic expect to see little granules of dirt that it picks up out of the atmosphere. You expect to see a certain amount of that. But
was the snow itself acting normally?
Well, the only thing abnormal about it that I could tell was, you know, I did the same test that everybody was showing on YouTube, where I held my Bic lighter to a little glob of this snow, and sure enough, it blackened. It blackened like it had soot on it. And apparently that was indeed
soot. That doesn't happen anywhere with a butane lighter or anything. You put fire on ice and it turns to water.
Exactly, because I did that. I did a very experiment on Friday, was it yesterday, because I wanted to test the snow here. I've got a ton of it in my yard. So I put my lighter up to it, and it melted. It did not turn black. So something that they were getting down in the Atlanta area was seriously different from the snow I'm getting here.
It could be. Like I say, my test was certainly not scientific. I don't have a spectrometer here, so I couldn't measure exactly
what was
in
it.
So what I was looking for was visible signs of some sort of a melted polymer, and I couldn't find it.
If I may, could we turn this over to Suzanne Posel? Because she just recently interviewed Dade Wigington about this exact thing. Didn't you, Suzanne?
I did. Because I saw all of these, I watched about 20 of these videos on YouTube. And the first time I watched it, it blackened and it did not melt. There was no water. There was no water. I mean, I'm a Floridian. I don't say that I know a lot about snow, but I would think that it would melt because it's turning into another form. Liquid, you know, it's a gas, it's a solid, and it's a liquid. So heat would turn it back into a liquid or a gas. We weren't seeing any liquid. And the blackened smoke in these 20 videos all showed up. Now, I've never taken a butane lighter to snow, but then again, you know, I wouldn't expect it to behave that way. When I asked Dane Wigington about it, he was talking about... some of the patents for geoengineering call for polymer fibers, and that would account for the strange plastic smell that people were, complaining about when they were burning it. I have seen some, and it makes sense. It makes sense because I don't know the logistics of what I'm talking about. So if I see something that makes sense, it makes sense. And some people were explaining that it was a byproduct of the butane onto the ball of snow that was causing it to blacken. So without having any knowledge of butane or snow or how it combines or what's going on, that explanation would sound logical.
Has anybody had this particular type of alleged artificial snow and just left it to melt on its own, like in a warm room or something like that? Because I got the impression from the videos that even when a lighter was attached to it, it really wasn't kind of melting and no water was coming out of it.
It did melt to water in my test tube. It did melt to water in my test tube under.
Oh, yeah, but we're talking about different areas, and a number of different areas have experienced this phenomenon, and a number haven't.
We're in Oregon. We had some kind of strange looking, it looked like styrofoam, little teeny snow balls, but they melted all right, but they looked strange. It didn't really look like snow, and it took a long time for it to melt too. It seemed to take an extraordinarily long time after everything else was warmed up, just a couple of pockets just hung in there. But aside from that, we didn't really notice anything else.
Well, as long as we're cataloging some of the collective screw-ups of short-sighted, expedient compromise, there's a lot of, you know, there's a biological constant. No organism can survive in an environment of its own waste. Right now, all the plastic we've been dumping into the waterways, ocean and local tributaries, is being broken down. It's being consumed by microorganisms, which are accelerating the release of the basic chemicals in the plastic, and at the same time it's going up the food chain. That means the stuff that we're going to consume is consuming plastic, and it's, of course, you'd like to think you can eliminate this from the body. It's certainly not healthy, and it can derail the health. But once this stuff gets stuck in the system, we're polluting our own environment.
You brought up a good point, and I was having a conversation with someone on social media about this article I put out, that it's quite interesting. There was a study done that the areas in the United States where there's severe drought also happen to be places where they're conducting fracking. And mm-hmm. this person was saying, well, no, precipitation has to do with water and the atmosphere and all that. I said, yes, but there's lots of reasons why there's water loss. There's fracking. There's geoengineering. There's Nestle and Coca-Cola siphoning all of our water and bottling it up and selling it back to us. There's lots of reasons. Right. There's lots of reasons for water loss. We can't just look at this one thing, like the snow, and say, oh, my God, it's this. Anne brought up a good point. Our entire globe is being saturated with plastic. And so where is it going to go? It's going to go all the way around because we live in a biosphere. It's going to end up in the atmosphere. It's going to end up being rained down on us. So we have to look at these things not as one isolated incident, but look at the contributing factors and try and gauge not just one answer to one problem. Get rid of geoengineering, you still have a drought problem.
Yeah, but it's also part of the out-of-sight, out-of-mind delusion. You know, you sweep the dirt under the rug. Unfortunately, we've run out of room under the rug. It's coming back out and choking us. But this is part of the idea that intellectually you can abstract yourself and say, this is what we need and this will work. We'll figure it out. Somebody will invent something down the road. We've reached the saturation point on that. And it's really, as you're pointing out, affecting the quality of life on this planet. And we've started something that needs a lot of cleaning up very quickly.
Sure, because even if we ended geoengineering tomorrow, it would still take the Earth a long time to heal. So we would still have what we would consider not normal weather for a very long time. So we also have to look at what we're doing, what we're dumping into the planet, the ways in which we're living that's causing a contribution to the poisoning of the planet. And they're all having.
Great idea.
They're all having these interesting effects that seem to be symptoms of this or symptoms of that, but we're not looking at the actual problems. So we're sitting here analyzing symptoms. It's the same thing they do with the DSM-5. They make up a disease based on symptoms, and then they come up with a pharmaceutical answer for it. So we need to stop that mode of thinking and say, well, look, this is a holistic problem. There are many factors contributing to the loss of water and drought conditions and the pollution of our planet. We need to make I don't know, a really long list and go one by one, I guess, until they're all gone. And then at that point, we can say that they're all gone. And then at that point, we can say that we're on our way to getting rid of all of this bad stuff in our world.
Yeah, what about pyramids?
Just let it happen. You know, war is the biggest thing, the military-industrial complex and the big corporations that you spoke of. Until we stop allowing profit over people and justifying the fact that we can call ourselves civilized and yet send our sons and daughters off to fight and die for our honor, you know, we're still, in my opinion, in the dark ages. And we can try and blame it on each other. But, you know, this isn't the third dimension, it's the third dimension, and we've got to get rid of the psychopaths who are destroying this planet, and mainly the military-industrial complex.
Yeah, but you know,
what we'd love to do is create a website that's all about, you know, talking about the psychopaths and exposing each of the individual ones they are, and we'd like call it psy.co.nz, you know, or sci.co.us, you know, because it's psycho. You actually make a company devoted to that. Wouldn't it be great?
Well, you know, you can't trust psychopaths, but that's just a trade name. What do we need? If people spend more time in their rationalizations between what they think and feel than what's actually going on within and around them, they start to become neurotic. If that gets to such a degree that they can no longer function socially or biologically, we call it psychosis. Then we look at the temperament and the characteristics that are intersecting. But in other words, we have a derangement of the human psyche. You can't get out of a trap until you realize that you're in a trap. If you accept the trap is the normality, then you adjust to the trap. And right now, that's why the public is so susceptible to manipulation. It doesn't realize that it's trapped by an outmoded way of looking at things that people who can play off of them.
Maybe people are too busy looking for the cure or the savior and the solutions and what have you that they don't even realize how many false promises and traps that they're actually going to wind up having to go through in their quest to get to the truth.
Well, that's that is obedience. You know, we're trained to obey authority. So from the time that we're born, we're shuffled into a system where unless you really consciously work to break out of it, you don't even realize you have a choice.
Well, we have to give them back the choice, and that's, we talk about an education process, but most people have drag lines. Even though they're unhappy, it's how they identify themselves. And we need to let them know that they can break the grip of this unhappiness, not be so downtrodden and oppressed, and can start to look for what really fulfills them. But they need some really concrete understanding. You know, I have one of what I call my psychological ethical etiquettes. You're not supposed to believe if somebody really has an understanding, not just an elaborate idea. It has to be, you have to see what it is, how it's constructed, its range of motion, how you can access it independently, clearly, logically, reasonably, and demonstrably. If it doesn't match those criteria, and we need some new values in society, it's not an understanding if somebody's just giving you their opinion.
Well, we have to be what we do here at United We Strike. People who hand out red pills, you all are so very articulate in identifying that problem. People are stuck in their little boxes, and so we have to, you know, give them a little crumb here to lead them down that trail to a point where we can hand out red pills. And, you know, you all do that here at UnitedWeStrike.com, but you all do it on your own shows. So I think that's a plus that we can get together here and talk about these issues about how to help our fellow human being become more conscious.
Well, it sure is a pleasure to be able to share with all of you. You know, intelligence is such a turn-on.
Yeah. I was interviewing a tattoo artist the other day, and he's really, really noticed the dumbing down of society. I go, how do you notice that? And he goes, well, because it used to be somebody would come in with a kind of idea or something personal about a tattoo on their body or something, you know, something that means something. And now what happens is they're all coming in with an image that they found on a Google image search. And he goes, you know, maybe that wouldn't be quite so good. Maybe that wouldn't look good in 20 years' time. You know, how different are you going to feel about it? And they're like, no, I want this one. Yeah, but I could probably design something better for you, you know, that would actually suit you more. And it's like, no, I want this one. Like, no creativity whatsoever. It's just been sapped out of society, and they've been walking around just plugging into their freaking smartphones. It's starting to happen everywhere, you know. Hardly anybody pays any attention when anybody's right in front of your face. The only time anybody ever pays freaking attention to you is when you're sending them a gosh dang text message.
Well, you could quote, I'd like to quote from one of Lennon's lyrics, you know, they hit you at home, they hurt you at school. Hate you if you're clever and despise a fool. Till you're so fucking crazy, you can follow their rules. When they've tortured and scared you for 20-odd years, then they expect you to pick a career. You can't hardly function, you're so full of fear. Keep you dope with religion, sex, and TV. You think you're so clever and classless and free, but you're still fucking peasants as far as I can see.
Let's watch the F-bombs there, Am.
Friendly. Sorry. Okay. Sorry about that. Just quoting a lyric, though.
Right. Because yeah, I'm sure that there's plenty of under 18-year-olds that listen to this kind of intellectually based talk radio where most of the audience is above the age of 40.
I wish there were.
We've had AM stations or FM stations pick up our stream and send us an email saying, hey, you got to watch the F-bombs, we have to use that.
Oh, yeah, that's true, because you got those FCC regulations. I love it how the F word start as the first letter for FCC. And what I've found is whole system, I mean, just on the talk about this, just recently in Australia, there is a statue, the Unknown Warrior. Only God knows his name. And they just signed a city ordinance to rub off that only God knows his name because it's deemed offensive.
What?
Okay. Yeah, seriously. I'm talking about hardcore censorship of speech. You can now get a $300 fine or a stint in prison for using the F word in public. In certain states in Australia. I think two of them have passed those laws now. All right.
And
the censorship
and remember,
of speech
Australia is a Commonwealth of the British Crown. Let's not forget that.
Let's not forget that so is the US.
Yes, I would agree with you there as well.
Who was it that financed the revolution? Wasn't it King George?
I think we did. We keep financing all this. But one thing that I'd like to bring up when we're talking about action and getting together is really unity. I mean, again, we have so many different areas where people are interested in, you know, the idea of the chemtrails and the polymers, which do happen in some people. Then again, it was interesting, Gary, to hear your take on it. But the 15th is next Saturday, and the 15th of the month basically is just a day for the people to stand together to take some kind of action, whatever action they feel they can best do in their neighborhood. Ultimately, when we can really strike, when people understand it, in my opinion, what I think would be great is if we plan, and maybe April 15th, we know that, okay, on April 15th, all across this country and in globally, whoever wants to join, if we can, within our communities, get 100 people who will show up at the sheriff's office, 100 people who will show up at the jails, 100 people who will show up at the schools, 100 people who will show up at the city councils. Some of those people armed and ready to protect and defend. You know, we can also have groups of people, maybe 25 people, go to this politician's home who is in the local area who we know is a traitor. So they take care of him. Then we've got like 50 people over here. We can actually coordinate our efforts to just overwhelm with people power all of the local traitors, so that we can restore our world. Now, right now, I know that won't happen.
I'm
trying to plant seeds. Well, let me just finish, Jenny. I'm just trying to plant seeds here, but regardless of what people do, when we take action on the 15th, if we can make this more and more a day for the people, whether or not we decide, no, we're not paying any credit cards beginning on the 15th because they're all in bed with the terrorists, with the bombs, with the wars. No, we're not going to do this. We need to use our collective numbers. And if we start thinking in terms of locally using those greater numbers and not allowing things like this atrocity down here, the murder of Kelly. Now I'm forgetting his first name, but he was just beaten to death by 6 policemen. When those policemen should be in jail, if we have people all over going to the different sectors of our cities that need to be taken care of, then they can get rid of those police, put them in jail, release all the nonviolent offenders, people who are in there for traffic violations and all this. We can get back to the simplicity of self-ownership, cooperation, and nonviolence. In the meantime, until we can build, you know, we need to promote, or it would be great if we could promote this as a People's Day, to stand shoulder to shoulder doing something to resist every day and seeing how many more people you can get next month. Because, Suzanne, when you said earlier we're in the train and we're headed for the bridge and the track is blown out, that's exactly right. And until we can get that critical mass to get us out of the critical mess through unity, we're still talking around in circles and attaching ourselves to pieces of paper or metal or the Constitution, when I think we need to just start thinking in terms of the big picture, simplicity, good stewardship of our world, self-ownership, nonviolence, and cooperation.
And be prepared to, you know, take a leadership role and things like that, because infiltrators get sent in. There's always people who bicker and argue amongst themselves, and strong leadership listens to people when what they talk about is relevant and ushers them to, you know, just keep their mouth shut and just harden up and do what needs to be done. And the other occasions when it's just slacking off, you know, people don't always keep in line. They don't need to be forced into doing what they need to be doing. And this nothing wrong with a bit of persuasion, is there? And I think if you've got the ability to persuade people to stop doing the wrong thing and start doing the right thing, I think the onus is actually on you to start taking a bit of more of a leadership role in your community and help to coordinate people so that they take care of each other or whatever thing you want, okay? If you're doing a job and you don't want to do it, you're not going to be anywhere near as good at that job, are you? If you love doing radio, freaking start doing it. There's nothing to stop you. There's plenty of microphones out there that are cheap and little recording programs and websites. It's not that expensive. It's very easy to do as much radio as you want. And people are wondering when somebody's going to come along and help me. And I was wondering that myself years and years ago. And then I went to a party one time. These guys were doing green screening for a living and they started their own business. And I go, wow, how can I get into the film industry? And they say, just do it. And that's what I started doing. I kind of listened to a whole bunch of American talk radio and I just started doing it. Okay. And I love it and it's awesome. And I get to talk to fantastic people like the ones in this very round table today. Not because I waited around for somebody to save me. I found my own way. And I think that's what we've all done and should do more of. The thing is, you've got to help other people to come with you as you're going up. Because if you just forget about everybody that helped you to get where you are today, heaven help you.
Indeed, leadership is a skill that we all have to demonstrate. What I keep telling people is, if you learned from programs like the UnitedWeStrike.com radio marathon, it is your moral obligation to help teach others. Okay, you don't have to be the one savior that goes out to save the world. But if you just, like Karen says, unite in your local area with your friends, your family, and your neighbors, you can make a difference. And you may not think of yourself as a leader, but maybe you can consider educator, teacher, informer, just sharing that idea, that bit of knowledge that might help your friends, family, neighbors to survive what we're faced with. And the idea of unity around the world is something we have to engender. Otherwise, we fail. With the New World Order's agenda to exterminate 80 to 90% of the world's population, then we as a species globally have to take that mindset of just helping our friends, families, and neighbors in our own little special way to understand the things that they need to do to help them survive. We survive. We can use our numbers to turn back the tide of the New World Order.
Yeah, if I could speak to what Vinny was mentioning at the end of this segment before the roundtable, you had brought something up that caught my attention about the none. You bringing up is a you're doing. You're bringing up the problem in your field, okay, but you're not offering solutions. That's up to other people in journalism. Now, I wanted to talk to that for just a minute. Most people I've learned when I would bring up, for example, you were talking about plastics and how the buildup of these things, just one little anecdote, just south of Denver, the plastics were being dumped into the river and there were xenoestrogens, which are toxic estrogens, and they're artificial, but what happened is it canceled out all the males in the fish population, which meant there were only females, which meant that they all died eventually. But that is what I'm hearing you say is that your focus or your part is to identify where the problems exist. If we're circulating toxins, it'll eventually, you know, get to where we're at. You know, radiation went all the way to Wales when Chernobyl happened, and it circulated around the world. This is true. what most people don't want to know, and this is one of the things that we, Am and I, brought up in our discussion earlier, was the warning signs to get mired down, bogged down problem. This is a concern of ours, because a lot of media focuses on the bantering of the problem. We need to know what it is. This is absolutely imperative. You don't know you're in a cage unless you understand what it is, you know, you're dealing with. And most people don't know that. But what? How many people want to know what we're talking about? It scares them. And being a skill to be able to provide them the information you provided in your journalism means that there needs to be a direction provided them. So I wanted to speak to you on that and get your take on it.
Well, I think firstly the most imperative thing is to make sure that you're not part of the problem. Okay, because if you're going to identify, oh, this is a problem, that's a problem, or whatever, are you actually part of it yourself? Are you perpetuating stuff that ain't good? How many of your ideas are really your own? If you're not being original, then you're probably following somebody else. And usually I've found almost everybody I've ever followed has turned out to disappoint me at some point, you know? That's why I kind of don't follow anybody anymore. And this is one of the good things about, I think, real honest just talk radio, is that it's not about the individual and what they're capable of and all the solutions that they come up with. Usually it's actually about the guest, you know? Maybe people don't realize this, but I'm a talk show host, and I'm unlike most talk radio show hosts, where I'm actually prepared to admit that I don't know what I'm talking about sometimes. Okay? Nobody can know everything about every subject, maybe only a tiny little bit. And so I think that that honesty is what really needs to be returned here. Okay? I want to find some solutions. If there's anybody that can be interviewed, if somebody suggests, hey, this person actually came up with a fix for that, interview them. Okay, cool. Done. All done. And interviewed these dudes, Thunder and Light team, and Brad Molnar from modernhealthcoach.com. And they've managed to embed holograms with audio signals that actually change matter around them, kind of thing. They've managed to put these things onto, say, air conditioning ducts and actually drop the temperature. Things on the windows. They've managed to create ones allegedly that can be stuck to your car and reduce your emissions, exhaust, to zero, and had it verified and tested in a Los Angeles smog testing facility or whatever. So there's quite a number. Although I'm saying I'm not coming up with the solutions because I can't. I'm not researching into specific things and trying to solve those problems. I'm solving one problem, only one problem. There is no alternative journalism, talk radio, and video in New Zealand. That's it. And it's a pretty big problem for one man to solve by itself, but sure enough, I'm doing it, and I've actually got higher rankings on YouTube than the mainstream media in New Zealand do. All right, so that's the one problem that I've decided to solve, doing it quite well. It just happens to be that I can also give coverage to people who are solving all sorts of problems. I just don't want people to come to me to save them from every single one of those problems. You know what I'm saying?
I think you're right, in as much as we as talk show hosts can't know everything. I don't know everything. I know a little about a lot of things, but I'm no expert. But as talk show hosts, we are facilitators. We can bring on the experts that know a lot of answers and may suggest solutions, and then folks in the audience can decide whether or not that's something that they would like to employ in their lives. So you may not know everything, but at least you honestly try to present information that the public can take back so that they can learn and implement in their lives. So you may not be the solution, but you are part of the solution process.
Well, that's true. But
just because may I just make one point to clarify that, because we can tell you what a solution is, we can't implement it for you. You actually, the listener, have to implement it for yourself. We can tell you what the solutions are, but they won't become solutions unless you actually use them.
You know, we can, and what you do is extremely necessary and very useful, people need to be awoken to the problem. What Dean was pointing out is, but they also need someplace new to go. The reason it's hard for them to respond, all of us on this round table are very disciplined people. We've been through a lot. We've focused our energies. We've achieved enough to be able to move ahead in the world in our own steam and try to find our comfort level. But a lot of people are existing in fear. And when you ask them to consider these things, they're very dependent. They're willing, in deference to this fear, it's not a rational process, to trash themselves, to live a subpar existence, to be subservient, because it's not all the things we're saying. You think that's where the real fear is, but the fear is psychological. And in deference to that, if they become too smart, too strong, too capable, the fear that they have that they don't even understand or recognize becomes cued in. So they find a comfort level in being relegated. It's not a rational process. And being subservient. Here we are saying, yeah, these things are off. They're going to ruin your life. You know, another one of my psychological ethical etiquettes is, if I won't expose you to anything that's going to cause a change that you have a dependency on, even if it's your own fear-driven anxiety, unless I can efficiently and accurately give you a way to handle it that'll bring you into a better space. Because most people don't want to look at it. They're busy running away. So, yes, they need the idea, but they also need, as I said, this country was not just formed that we don't want to be under tyranny. It was formed with a thought of how we can facilitate a greater dynamic, social dynamic that's more fair. And what's the purpose of that? It's to nurture the individual so we can come together, not from a fear-driven subpar place, but as intelligent people, because we want to be there and we can move in and out and see what we have to offer. And this is part of what we're facing in the changes that need to come down in society right now.
Experience has taught many people many things, and I believe that our elders, and I consider all of you, you know, technically older than me, I'm only 29, all of you are kind of like de facto elders to me, you know, like the village elders and what have you have got stories to tell and stuff that they've seen that I haven't had experience. And one thing that occurs to me that I think should really be passed on to other people is that as a talk radio show host, you're not actually out there in the thick of it. You're not visiting these people in their cells when they've been locked up six times or something of that nature. It's actually a part of the job to just sit there and listen to the pain that people have gone through and take it on board. And it's actually quite stressful and painful just to hear about all these problems and what have you. You know what I'm saying? Sometimes we need some time off. And I think I asked Jack Blood, he's a really good talk radio show host, about this. You know, how do you be in talk radio as you have for like 15, 20 years or so and not turn into some form of self-obsessed, a callous, unfeeling douchebag, as so many do? And he goes, well, number one, drink, because if I didn't drink, I would have gone nuts long ago. And number two, take the money. No, seriously, if you're doing something really good for people, you're not actually doing something horrible and somebody offers you money, just take it. All right. Well, there's so many people who don't want to accept generosity, especially in the talk radio field. And as a result, they make things harder on themselves when other people are just trying to help them the way that you're trying to help other people.
Vinny, better to have a bottle in front of me than a frontal lobotomy.
I would be apprehensive of whoever might offer me a considerable amount of money for my talent as a talk show host, lest they compromise my journalistic ability.
Maybe you're not in too much danger of that, man. You know.
Yeah, well, well, thanks, but I would be. I mean, you look at the likes of like an Alex Jones, or I don't know who else you might look, perhaps a Joyce Riley. You know, they remain financially independent so that their message is not compromised. How's that for an example?
Yeah, exactly. Well, then again, I think everybody's message is compromised to a degree because they're all doing it from their own particular perspective, and not everybody's 100% correct on things 100% of the time. Let's say somebody's delivery is wrong and you prefer a form over substance or something like that. You can't appeal to everybody, but I think what Alex has done is he's very much well-targeted an audience and managed to eke out a living from it, and it's all due to his hard work and his associations with many other people that helped him get to this point and whatnot. I mean, my first co-host was Brent Johnson, who told me at one point Alex was crying on his shoulder on a porch in Texas because he'd just had his radio show cancelled by some network, and he's like, oh my God, nobody's going to inform people about the New World Order. And it's just... Can you get the idea that you can't actually tell the truth in this country or any other without it costing you something?
Well, that's one thing I wanted to ask this group about. Maybe it's time we start going around the table and focusing on what everyone's thought is. But, you know, it's a theme that I've heard occur over and over today, even during my section of the show, is that truth has now become an antisocial exercise, and it has become something that is not legal anymore to tell the truth, where you can be put as a truth teller in jail, or in this case of Ed Snowden, have hit squads come after you. So my hats off to all of you with your own programs trying to get the truth out to the audience, to the public, about what's really going on with you know, the world. Because without people trying to tell the truth, was it Orwell that said, in a world of lies, the truth becomes a revolutionary act? Well, that's what we're doing. We're revolutionaries. And it was Dinah Everett Snyder who was pointing out that truth tellers are now being put, you know, in jail. So let's go around the table. We have with us Am Rosen, Dr. Dean Lloyd, Suzanne Posel, Vinnie Eastwood, Karen Tostado, and Gary Hendershot. Am, your closing thoughts. How about truth from your perspective?
All right. Well, you know, when people come to me for various forms of assistance, I listen to them. I'm a good listener. And after a while, I say, well, I know you're saying that, and I know you're even thinking that, but that's obviously not where you're coming from. And the obvious is one of my favorite words. When we talk about truth in the context we're talking about more comprehensive understandings, things that make sense, order things in a way that are fairer, more helpful for us and for society. But that's not what's running the show. The feeling level right now, you know, we can all sit down, cup of tea, glass of wine, be very sharp, have a great conversation. But once you move back from that, if you get thrown off kilter, you're too tired, too frustrated, too angry, whatever it is, then we lose that center of reason for some amount of time. And what we do is we revert. And where we revert to are these old feeling patterns, these ways of response, which are for most people right now subconscious, and they're irrational, they're illogical and unreasonable. So somebody say, yes, I know what you're saying makes sense, and I want to do that, and that would be better, but that's not how they live. So it's important to understand the only truth of the feeling level, which is right now what's running the show, no matter how much intellectual acumen you've developed, is that either I get what I was patterned, conditioned, or programmed to feel I should want, and if I get it, it produces satisfaction, I approach it, I feel good about it. Or I don't get what I was patterned, conditioned, or programmed to feel. You notice there's three levels I'm talking about on the subconscious. And if I don't get it, I feel guilty, and I try to avoid it. Now, even if what you feel you should have is debasing to your well-being, detrimental to your psyche, harmful to your body, once that's locked in, the only time you feel right about it is when you're doing that. And if for the best of reasons, logical, scientifically validated, you come up with a better perspective to defy that, say, no, this is how I should be, then you feel wrong, and the feelings will censor you through the body mechanism. For instance, you want to hear some gobbledygook? You're a miserable, screwed up sinner. You should spend your whole life suffering and repenting. Absolute trash. But once you have come to feel that way, the only time you feel right is if you're miserable, screwed up, suffering, and repenting. And if you
defy suffering and repenting.
I think, yes, I understand. But anyway, we could have an interesting discussion on that, then. He'd love to sometime. But what I'm saying is, when we're talking about truth, at what level are we talking about it from? We're speaking a lot of intelligent things that people need to hear, but whether they can actualize them, it's a difference between thinking about being peaceful and participating and being loving, is a difference between thinking about it and actually knowing how to access and facilitate the qualities within yourself that bring those on the table, bring them online.
With your articulation and how well you speak, I'm hoping that our audience members can catch up to you via osmosis, M. Tell us about your websites and how we listen to your shows.
Well, thank you. Yeah, my website is www.lifegame.com. And on having wrestled with a technical glitch, my podcast library, the beginning of it, is back online. I'll be sending you guys links to it. It's now on YouTube. There are YouTube buttons. So if you want to watch some of what I put down, there's an interesting two-part introduction, where I'm coming from and what I'm offering. And then there's three categories, one on intimacy, one on consciousness, one on health. And I hope to expand those in the future. Also find some excerpts from my two most recent books and a lot of other things. The guidebooks I've mentioned on other shows are outlined on there, as is the process. And I'd love to hear from you. I love questions. Got more answers than people have questions.
Well, we appreciate your participation, as always, in the UnitedWeStrike.com radio marathon and your insight. I think all you do is offer answers, and we appreciate you spending time with us on the roundtable. Dr. Dean Lloyd, your closing thoughts on truth and how you see it.
Thank you very much, Matt. Just as a reiteration, this is part of why we did the radio show in the first place. The Evolving Species series, what we've done is unique. It's unlike anything out there. We have basically gone to any real useful discipline. Like, for example, we did a show on biological dentistry and the effect on hormones. Now, who's talking about that? And we did one on the effects of in men during pregnancy. Who talks about that? What we do is we extrapolate these different disciplines and we draw on what is relative or important and effective in this particular time in our development, focus on the necessary components and use their expertise, like Vinny was mentioning, how the solutions come from the people he interviews, and then bring it to the consciousness place. How are we developing? How are we perceiving this as being useful, effective, and appropriate? That's our truth. Our truth is getting the message out, but we can't do this alone. All these people with, you know, a variety of disciplines, it's funny, and Matt, I speak to this because it's such an interesting journey. I was mentioning to Am earlier today that I feel like the Christopher Columbus of talk radio. In other words, there's a lot of people out there talking, but what we are needing to do is be inclusive, to draw in the people that have insight. But what we haven't been able to successfully do, especially in the medical profession, believe me, there's a lot of overeducated idiots that are running the show right now. In my opinion, you know, I've seen this because talking to people that have graduated themselves in their own minds to a particular way of thinking in science is, you know, brilliant. You know, they've discovered things and or they've discovered, you know, new technologies and this is incredible. You know, we can look through people and see all these incredible things. They still haven't been able to integrate it, what it looks like to be healthy. They're still running around afraid of themselves and afraid of what they'll do to people. They're not integrated emotionally or balanced, and that's what we've been striving to do. I don't do this individually. I make a big deal about making it inclusive. in a part of my Aquarian trait is, you know, the service. And I've wanted to elaborate on that to be able to draw in people that want to know. The X factor is the main thing. Where's the consciousness? How is healing? How is our, you know, all these different fields and disciplines, interactive disciplines, affecting us, and where are we going with it? We need the solutions, and I wanted to sort of draw this into a solution idea, you know, place, because I've heard in a lot of the other networks that have focused on the problem too much, they get wrapped up in their own trip, and I don't want that to be the case here. So that's my truth, and I hope I was able to get in that short period of time enough of the message out.
Well, you do echo Am's sentiments well. Tell us about your radio shows, and you're an AMS radio show on GCN, and how we listen to you on Wolf Spirit Radio.
Beautiful. We have our own individual websites, and you can access our shows and our calls through them. Accutone, my book, which is a discipline in Oriental medicine and sound healing therapy, one very effective way of helping to balance out imbalances. And I've discovered this, spent much of my life dedicated to finding out the answers here. And I've been able to draw out these parameters clearly and succinctly and use it in other disciplines. But Accutone, A-C-U, www.accutone.com, you'll see my book, my clinics, work in oxygen therapies, nutrition, so on. And also my radio show, so book, radio show, and clinic, all there at the one website, one-stop shop. And then we have Evolving the Species, which is with the Genesis Communications Network. That's on twice a month. It's with Dr. Hurley's show, Uncommon Awareness. This is where we do the interviews. We have State of Mind Quality of Life. That's on the Wolf Spirit Radio Network every first Friday. We have, of course, you guys, and we're out teaching the professionals. We're out, getting to the people that are, you know, needing to educate the public. So we want to go to Harvard, Princeton, Cambridge, anywhere where there's a good, you know, mindset, people wanting to know, but have the mind to understand what we're trying to say. So with that, thank you for the opportunity. Great group of people. Thank you.
Yeah, we appreciate you taking your time. You sound very busy and very professional, and I appreciate you doing what you do, helping to educate others about the truth, and that's all we talk about. Suzanne Posel, a journalist, your main focus is truth. Your perspective on how all that?
Well, truth is, I guess, unfortunately subjective, because I source documents and studies and facts in my articles, and people still ask me about what I meant by the title of the article, the headline. The headline is not all-encompassing. So until people read more than the first three paragraphs of an article, and I know that you only read the first three paragraphs because I can see it, click on the source links and actually read the documents and get to know the people who are actually causing this problem and how they're doing it, we're at a loss. And so truth remains subjective. So help me help you by educating yourself. And there are many people out there that have tools in which you can find information more readily and make that a part of your life. Democracy is a spectator sport, but constitutional republics should not be a spectator sport. We have to be part of this. Otherwise, we're going to be part of the other thing. And if we don't like what's going to happen to us and what is happening to us right now, then we have to educate ourselves, make informed decisions. My website is OccupyCorporatism.com. My new news agency is the USIndependent.com. Thank you so much.
Thanks for taking the time to spend with us today, Suzanne, and thank you for spending time with me on my show talking about Fukushima and ways to help the body mitigate the effects of radiation poisoning. We have information up on my website, nwodor.com, about that. Now, your partner, the newly matrimonied Vinny Eastwood, talks a lot about truth as well. Vinny, your closing thoughts on it?
Are you living the way you tell everyone else they should live? Yeah? You ever get that introspection moment? I'm full of crap. You know? It's as though we're living in some kind of brainwashed thing. You know, what is truth? Does truth really exist? I've got some people out here who actually don't think that truth really exists. They think it's all just perception. It's like, well, actually, there's kind of things that happen that are pretty obvious, and there's not really a whole bunch of mystical things to it. You know, don't get too wound up in the psychobabble and what have you. If you want to move a chair, don't go traveling 60 years or something like that and practice meditation as a yogi so that you can move the chair with your mind. Just get off your ass and move the frickin' chair, okay? People are getting too complicated about things. Simple frickin' solutions are usually the things that solve complicated problems. You ever heard of that? And when you're trying to talk about truth, you got to think about, well, there's many truths, you know? Everybody thinks, oh, my truth's the only truth. And that's just really, really stupid. It's arrogant, okay? There's two great pieces of advice that I've been given. Number one, don't take yourself too seriously. Number two, don't take what others say about you personally. Emphasize a little bit of self-reliance. You know, one of the worst things that you can do if you're thinking about starting something or inventing something or whatever, and this is the first thing that so many people do, they go to somebody else who's already doing it and ask them for help. It's like, bro, I'm too busy. I've got my own stuff on. I can't really help you. You've got to help yourself. And once you've started helping yourself, once you've actually started creating something, once you don't actually need help, suddenly all these people come out of the woodwork and start asking how they can help you and help you keep continuing doing what you're doing. Isn't that interesting? That you actually have to find out how much courage it takes to do something after you've already done it. That's how you realize your own personal power. And me, I am a grade A mooch artist, or in Mexican, I'm called a muchacho. There's an ability that I have of doing really nice things for heaps and heaps of people and then garnering enough support from the general community who benefit for the kind of information that I put out so that I can actually just pay my rent and pay for my food and pay for my internet and just basically live so that I can keep exposing scumbaggery and helping people, all right? It's a perfect cycle. It's like a karma bank, but except it's real. It's a community bank. Whenever anybody hears somebody doing a good thing, there's something within them that stirs up and goes, you know, I want to do something like that, or I want to help that person do more, etc. You know, it's natural. We all want to help and see good people doing good things. You know, everybody's got that kind of moral backbone somewhere. Maybe it's not out in the forefront. Maybe they're not doing their great life's work and magnum opus. Maybe they're not getting through to the pursuit of truth. But there is a potential for them to wake up, stop taking themselves too seriously, and start trying to do something that is right, something that is on the side of truth and moral obligation, not opposed to it. And lastly, I think one of the greatest things that I've discovered is absolutely necessary if you're going to be involved in the study of ruthless criminal sociopathic scumbag refilth that are trying to take over the country and kill everybody and steal everything and basically destroy everything in the entire universe for all humanity and all eternity, is that you need to have a few laughs about it. You know, why not? It's just the end of the world. You know, have a cackle. You know, what's the worst that can happen? You know, I might damage my vocal cords because I was cackling too loudly and profusely. No, it's not going to happen. You know what'll happen? Large endorphin rushes will get through you. You'll start realizing that, hey, I don't actually have a ruthless cop with his gun pointing at my head right at this very moment. So there's not actually anything around me to be terribly afraid of. You know, but here's the other problem. And I think I'll kind of close on this. Infiltrators need to be watched out for, all right? There's always provocateurs and things of that nature that are trying to infiltrate good movements. And thank goodness we don't have any of them in this room. Because, you know, I think if we're going to actually have any movement that is ever successful, we need to be ever watchful for that kind of thing. You know what I'm saying? For example, fundamental agreements. Suzanne, Matt, or Anne, Karen, anybody out in this room, would you by chance put on a black uniform with an M4 and march into an innocent family's house and execute them after dragging them into the street in fisticuffs? No? Okay, then we don't really have any fundamental disagreements, do we?
Indeed. You know, Vinny, your shining example of telling the truth can affect people's lives, and your audience supports you with financial donations, and so they appreciate your being able to tell the truth. And you strike me as the Alex Jones of the Southern Hemisphere. So I wish you well. I appreciate you taking the time to share with us and be with us here at UnitedWeStrike.com. We certainly appreciate your support, and I thank you for all your, you know, insights. Keep doing what you do, because we need courage like yours in this movement to help people realize that they're trapped in this matrix, and then we can help give them information to get out of it. Let's hear about your websites and how we listen to your show.
Yeah, I'm not really courageous. I'm just reckless. And my website is thevinnyeastwoodshow.com. That's Vinny with a Y, because it's the most important question, and Eastwood isn't go ahead, make my news. And there's also realguerrillamedia.com, and contribute to the usindependent.com. And I also have a YouTube channel, Mr. News Guerrilla Media. And if you just search Vinny Eastwood anywhere online and search for videos, it'll probably come up with my YouTube channel, which is going really kind of successfully. I'm wondering whether or not to actually put those terrible Google ads on, because at the moment, every single video and every interview that I've ever done is able to be downloaded and edited and uploaded on anybody else's channel. They can make documentaries out of interviews that I've done, it for all I care. You know, it's all free. It's out there. I'm creating what I hope to be one day the world's largest free online archive of interviews from every single spectrum of thought that exists on this world.
Brilliant. Karen Quintostado, without your voice telling us the truth, or at least what you think is the truth for all these years, what is your closing thoughts on the subject?
It's a very interesting subject indeed. I know that if you spoke to my late father, he would tell you the truth is, unless you're Catholic, you're going to hell. I know that if you speak to some of these people who blow themselves up in the middle of a marketplace by strapping a bomb on, believe that they're doing it for the right reason. To them, that's truth. It can be very subjective. You know, one person's pain level is not the same as another's. One person's vision is not the same as another. So when I'm looking now for the truth, I am still I'm still open to expanding my version of it. But in my opinion, the truth is really in the now, and it's all around us. And not many of us want to face it. There's simplicity about it. We make our lives really complicated. We're overthinking things. The truth is, we don't even understand the truth about our nature. What makes us? Why are we so easily led and misled? On the UnitedWeStrike.com consciousness page, on the videos, the consciousness page, there's a new video that my husband and I watched, and we were very much affected by it. It's called Inner Worlds, Outer Worlds. And they tell us that science has proven that the truth is there is no empty space. The truth is also underlying all religions. To me, the truth is reflected in the world around us every day. The truth is we are destroying ourselves. We are allowing ourselves to be misled. We are putting profit over people. We are being stolen from by the governments who supposedly are there to serve us, which is happening, but it is as the first course for their greed. We go to bed every night with blood on our hands because they use our money to pay for the atrocities that we do not condone. There's always more than enough money for the military-industrial complex, yet none to keep people in their homes. Our world, the truth of our world is we would rather throw people out on the streets and let property go to hell instead of allowing people to live there, because we have put profit over people and we have been steered out of our moral compass. So to me, also, the truth can be very simple. What is it that we really need? Clean air, clean water, healthy food, self-sufficient neighborhoods and love. We have to love ourselves enough to understand that divine breath, again, is equally distributed throughout all of creation, and it is in us. I love the saying, namaste. The God in me honors the God in you. That, to me, is the truth. And when more of us understand that also the truth is our planet needs good stewards, that has nothing to do with money. That has to do with pride in the job that you bring to the table creatively to help in an area where you are called. So many of us have jobs now that are absolutely not only counterproductive, but destructive. Wall Street, anything with profit above people is immoral. War is immoral. The truth is, though, we are so busy living our lives that we don't stop when these mass gassings occur, or we allow ourselves to be misled. We let the Nobel Peace Prize winner condemn 50 innocent people by an accusation by giving them the finger, and a drone goes out there. And then we give a Medal of Honor to the young person who's brainwashed enough to sit in the office and press that button. So the truth is, until we are willing to face our own darkness, we're not going to be able to actually even think about the truth, which, again, if you break it down, the truth is we are here in a three-dimensional world. I hear about fourth and fifth dimensions. I haven't seen them. I haven't seen any of the things that have been predicted, although we are definitely headed toward that bridge. Suzanne, I love that analogy. That bridge, we're full speed, and that bridge is out over that huge canyon. We are not acknowledging that. We're not looking in the mirrors. We're not looking at our children. The truth is we're easily misled and brainwashed, and I really want to encourage people, go to the consciousness videos. Watch inner worlds, outer worlds. It's in four parts. Begin to think outside the box, because also the real truth is we are only here for a little amount of time. And unless you can really become the hero of your own life and understand we don't need money, we need to love ourselves enough to forgive ourselves for being here and to begin to work together to clean up this world before it is down that chasm. And to me, Matt, that is the truth. And that is why I like to jump to the end of the line. You know, the truth I also believe is that we don't need money. We need cooperation. And if we stopped believing in money, our world would change overnight, because there is nothing that is truthful about poverty on one hand and extreme wealth on the other, and lying corporatists and the hidden hand who have us all running in circles and destroying ourselves. So
I think you go ahead. Sorry, finish.
Well, just we need to look in the mirror and we need to understand really what's necessary. Again, clean air, clean water, healthy food, self-sufficient communities, and love, all of which we can give ourselves, all of which government destroys and tries to take from us. So next Saturday is the 15th. Again, whatever you can do to help yourself, to help your family, to awaken yourself to your equality, none of us need to be subservient. None of us need to be the boss. All of us deserve a chance at health and happiness and abundance. We can give that to each other when we unite.
Indeed. I think about what you were saying, that you didn't see all these predictions like the Mayan calendar or Y2K and us all turning into crystalline beings, or Nibiru causing massive earthquakes. We haven't seen all these predictions come true, which is kind of disappointing to the folks that find this kind of stuff intriguing. But I, Matt Navarro, here tonight shall make a prediction that all of us here shall be gathered again next month for another UnitedWeStrike.com marathon. Karen, thank you so much for spending time with us. We always like hearing what you have to say. I like the passion in your voice. Any closing thoughts, websites about tonight?
Well, I'm really happy to be back with us. I joined Detlef earlier. I have to keep up my blog. And great work, Matt and Gary, part of the production team, and everyone here. I'm so proud of everyone and happy that this is continuing, and that's the truth.
Indeed, Gary, now you live in the den of non-truth. You know, I would be so creeped out just by being in the aura of the this evil here in your neck of the woods, Washington, D.C. How do you continue to spew what you consider truth or what you think of truth, and how do you deal with that invasion of static that comes from the D.C. area?
Well, I'll tell you, here in my underground bunker, just 12 miles south of Washington, D.C., the evil vortex is so darn strong that I have to have a seatbelt with a shoulder harness on my over-padded, luxurious leather desk chair. But yeah, when it comes to truth, I don't pretend to really know what the truth is. I mean, I know what my truth is. There are certain things that I hold dear as truths in my lexicon, but I can't expect the guy next door to accept my truths as being, you know, superior to his. And, you know, in a way, I guess I'm going to echo some of what Vinny said, and that, you know, there probably is an all-encompassing truth of everything. It's kind of like the unified field theory, though. You know, they keep trying for it, and, you know, just, all the pieces just never quite seem to fit. You know, I had a discussion group going one time, and you know, I had one guy out there, you know, they were talking about 9/11, and one guy saying, oh, you know, it was space particle beam weapons did it. And another guy said, ah, no, you're full of poo-poo. It was micro-nano thermite and this and that and the other thing. And one guy said, ah, no, it was Dick Cheney with a fancy gold-plated Xbox, drove those remote-controlled airplanes into those buildings all by himself. Another guy said, no, it was the Israeli Mossad. You know, and they're all going back and forth, you know, each arguing their version of the truth. And I stepped in and I said, you know, you've all got interesting arguments, and you know, maybe you're right, maybe you're wrong, who knows, not really sure we'll ever know really 100% for sure what the truth is. But what I'm hearing from you guys that I think we can all agree on is that the story given us by our government was the most cockamamie conspiracy theory of them all. And they're all looking at, yeah, you know, you're right. Yeah, you're right. Yeah, everybody's, yeah, you're right. But it was nanothermite. No, it was space beam particle weapons. No, it was anal probing gray space aliens, you know. So they're right back into their fight. And what we have to remember about the truth is that quite often it can be used as a weapon against us. It can be used to divide us and conquer us. And sometimes it's not a bad idea to listen to the other guy's truth and say, you know, you got a good argument there, but boil it down to the common denominator. What is the common element that we can all agree to, and focus on that, because that's a unifying field theory, if you will, that comes closer to that all-encompassing truth. Worry about the minutia, worry about the little details later. Get with it. Get it down to brass tacks. Yeah, there is a common truth that we can all learn. Now, we may disagree on the details, but, you know, if you boil it down, there's usually some element of truth in everyone's argument that even if you disagree with them on the gory details, you can nod your head and say, yep, you know, on that point, we are in agreement. That is the real truth that we can all kind of get behind. And instead of being divided over our differences of opinion, would help unite us in our common goal.
Well said, Gary. You know, truth imposed on us can be balkanizing, right? And it can be used as a way to leverage us apart. So I indeed agree with you that if we can find some common ground within our own truths, that would be progress. So any closing thoughts about let's get your websites and your radio show? Do you still do your show, Gary?
My name is Gary Hendershot, and on the internet I am pretty well known as Smart Scarecrow. I've got a YouTube channel that is Smart Scarecrow. I do a Monday broadcast on the Rents Radio Network as part of the Wide Awake News lineup. I do the Monday evening from 8 o'clock p.m. Eastern Time. I do an hour for them. And on Thursdays, I do a Vanity-published alternative energy show that's both audio and video. That's published on my own smartscarecrow.com website. And that's really about it for me.
Well, we appreciate you taking your time to produce for us, Gary. I'd like to thank Detlef, who does our morning portion of the show. You know, it's late in Europe now, so he can't join us. Someday I hope he just takes the time to spend with us, because he would be fun in this conversation. I'd like to thank Alan James from Open Your Mind Radio in Ireland, who produces for us as well. Hosts a segment here with Steve on the UnitedWeStrike.com radio marathon. And that's, you know, without Gary's, Alan's, and Detlef's producing skills, we would not remain on the air and bring you the information and the entertaining radio that we do here on UnitedWeStrike.com. So thank you very much, Gary. Wait, before I get to what I wanted to say, I wanted to add a programming note for everyone here, because we lost Larkin, Texas, so we have a half an hour block here in the afternoon that we could either fill, if you guys would let me know who you might suggest would be a good guest to fill Lark's spot via email. I would appreciate that. I'll send out an email after the show, maybe tomorrow morning, reminding you of that. Send me some suggestions. Or if we don't fill that spot, we'll be moving the shows up a half an hour. So Vinny, Suzanne, Am, and Dean, your shows will be moving up just a half an hour. So if you let me know if we can fill that spot with somebody you might recommend, great. Otherwise, you might be moving that show, your shows, a half an hour sooner. Gary, I think I agree with you. Each individual has their own notion of the truth, myself included. I look at it objectively. I take in the information I can, listening to people like you or to others, exposing myself to information on the internet or through books or through other media, trying to come up with information from where I consider resources that are credible. I have to consider them credible, and then I'll form my truth based on the information available to me. Now, if I encounter truth or information later that contradicts what I believe is truth, I will incorporate that. I try to have the flexibility to incorporate that into my frame of reference, and then my idea of truth might be readjusted. But I think that we do this exercise every month. You know, we've not had an opportunity or need in the history of mankind to do what we do here at UnitedWeStrike.com, which is to unite the world in peaceful noncompliance. On the 15th of the month, we tell everyone to not buy, not comply, and ask why. And these are very good notions, and that we spend the time here trying to spread what we consider the truth to our audience, I think is valuable. I'd like to thank all of you for participating, and I'd like to encourage you to, you know, continue your support of the UnitedWeStrike.com movement, because if we don't, then who will? And at what time in history will that occur? So it's up to us here, whatever your truth is, however you conceive it, to do what we do. Try to spread what we can in the best and most honorable fashion we can, to share with our audience, who we appreciate listening, so that you can spread the word as well. Otherwise, humanity may not survive. Humanity doesn't have a chance against the New World Order until we start waking up. We're being poisoned from the air, from the water, pharmaceuticals, vaccinations, food, GMOs, the whole gamut. We have to unite as a species. We have to unite around the world. That's why this is an international radio broadcast. We start off in Switzerland in the morning. We move to Ireland in the afternoon. And in the evening, towards the evening, we move to the United States. And we invite people like Vinny from across the other side of the hemisphere to be with us. So Thank you all for joining us this month. My website, nwodor.com, you'll find information up there about Fukushima and my interview with Suzanne Pozel this month, and you'll find information about spirulina, chlorella, diatomaceous earth, and you'll find a link to an article from Infowars.com where John Holdren, the science czar for Obama, says that global warming will cause more cold weather. Well, I've got almost about a foot of global warming outside my window right now. But until next month, folks, which I hope everyone joins us back for again, because we really appreciate you listening and appreciate these folks as our hosts' participation. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Death to the new world order!
I'm sorry, I'm going to take your calls.
You guys are really awesome.
I'm sorry, I'm ready. I went off a tangent, you
know. Happy Valentine's Day, sweethearts.
Thanks, everyone.
Play have some a good music. Evening. Make all it righty. Romantic.
And on that note, I'm going to take us out with a little bit of music.
It is a big...
United we strike.